Chapter 1. The tiny chapel off the atrium was packed, though the number of people in the confined space was small. There was no need in normal times for this private family room to hold a multitude. It was the dimensions of the chamber, rather than the number of guests, which created the impression of overcrowding. Some were family, others important friends, fellow senators or clients, while one distinct group stood close to the altar, dressed partly in goatskins. On the day of the festival of Lupercalia, these men had stopped on their way to the sacred cave on the Palatine Hill, wearing the skin of the animals they would sacrifice in the rituals of their cult. Lupercalia, being the god of fertility, no child could ask for a more propitious day to be born. Those dressed, like their host, in purple-bordered togas and red sandals, made up the bulk of the assembly. Roman senators, they had come to witness the birth of a child to Lucius Valerius Nerva, one of the leading men of the city-state, and, by their presence, to affirm their allegiance to both the man and his cause. Lesser mortals filled the atrium, intent on laying claim to a portion of his gratitude if the god should bless him so, a share in the power the Phaleri could command in these troubled times. In the streets of Rome, just a few feet away, few men dared to walk alone. The city was split into warring factions as the ill-bred supporters of Livonius fought the Senate for control of the most potent state the world had ever known. Tiberius Livonius, plebeian tribune, was bent on forcing his reforms through the assembly, the comita tribalis, acts which appealed to the basest sectors of Roman society, an alteration to the voting qualifications. This would spread authority through the ranks of the 35 tribes, so even the meanest ill-bred member would stand on a level with the richest and most aristocratic. Patrician nobles, members of the oldest and most illustrious families, like Lucius Valerius, and those assembled to witness this birth, opposed such moves with all the considerable energy at their command. For such people, power could only be entrusted to men of quality and wealth. Anything else was a surrender to the mob. They had stood quietly, faces set, just like the death masks of the Phaleri ancestors which lined the walls, sweating in their uncomfortable garments, while out of sight, the midwives worked diligently in the bedchamber, muttering incantations for the intercession of Lucina, the goddess of childbirth. Each invited guest had stoically ignored the cries of Lucius's wife Emiliana, as she struggled, strapped into her special delivery chair to bring forth the child. It was in the nature of things, and not a cause for comment. No flicker of emotion crossed a brow as the cries of the child took over from the painful screams of the mother. The master's body slave, Ragas, tall, muscular, his shoulders glistening with oils, crossed the atrium, imperiously elbowing his way through the throng to whisper in his owner's ear. The guests remained still and expressionless, while Lucius, having acknowledged the message, moved to the end of the room, his fine-boned, intelligent face as expressionless as his deep-set brown eyes. Each craned forward as their host made an offering at the altar dedicated to the Deo Domicilis, a sacrifice to the family genius, for it was by this Lares, this household god, that a man such as Lucius Valerius and his ancestors before him achieved immortality. They knew by the sacrifice of a black puppy, Emiliana had been delivered of a son. Moments later, like a well-staged appearance in a drama, the child, carried by a midwife in a wicker basket wrapped loosely in a swaddling cloth, was brought into the chapel, still yelling mightily, the small puckered face bright pink with fury, and the coal-black hair which capped his head still glistening from the scented water in which it had been bathed. Ragas took the basket and approached his master.